Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Folks, it's right now about 9 o'clock in the morning here on Thursday morning. This is about March the 3rd of the new month, and it's a pleasure once again being here as we are each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here at the historic old Clay County Courthouse, where we got all kinds of work going on outside. We've got pressure washing, woodwork going on, fixing to replace one of the 150-year-old window panes upstairs that somebody shot a BB through. I got a piece of custom glass cut for that yesterday. I'm going to get it put back in. We've got windows that have been sent up to Lexington, Kentucky to get restored. We'll talk a little bit about that a little later on. We just got all kinds of things going on, and we hope we'll have something to be pretty interesting to everybody. Kenzie Adams just walked in. He and I may wander off who knows where. I think I know one wandering trip. We're going to wander all the way to Salina, Texas, a few minutes here.
Collin County, Texas.
And so, but we've got lots going on, but we really appreciate everyone that listens to us here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. With the rebroadcast this evening, I reckon it's still at 6 o'clock tonight. And so make sure you tune into that. And these shows all get posted on the Del Hall Horizon website. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, athletics, things going on, like I said, here at the courthouse, our Rolly Hole Marble Museum. Like I said, that's one of Kenzie's sidelines that he kind of works on. And got just the stuff going on that. And, of course, we'll keep reminding folks that Monroe County, Kentucky, and the Marble Dome are going to be a very, very important part of the Rolly Hole Marble Museum here at the Clay County Courthouse. And got an announcement about something going on up there, maybe not this weekend, but next weekend. But we're looking forward to get all these exciting new things going here in and around downtown Salina. So
exactly right.
We will be we'll be back just in a few minutes, and I've got some announcements to make. We've got to remember we've got a couple of birthdays today, and we talk about the basketball things that are going on, and plus some other things. We'll be back just in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here this morning. What did Minnie Pearl used to say? Just proud to be here.
Exactly right.
We're not at Grinder Switch.
Nope.
But like I said, Kenzie's here with me, but we've got, I don't know, some announcements down through here before we start talking about marvels and ancestry and just a bunch of different things. I do want to announce that we had a great retirement here in the county last week, I believe, didn't we? Mr. Danny Stone?
Yep.
Retired.
That's exactly
we
right.
called him the Creel Checker. He had one of the worst jobs in the world. He spent 40 years floating around on Dale Hollow Lake asking people how many fish they caught, where they caught them at. Now, that is a tough job.
Has to be.
Of course, now part of that job used to be when we had a lot of night fishing up on Dale Hollow Lake with trout fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to stay up all night and
check all those regulations.
And back in those old days, I used to work at Cedar Hill, and it'd be kind of cold some of them nights, and I'd be inside nice, snug, and warm, and Danny'd come up and knock on the back
door. I'd say you probably have more than one Billy Barlow tale, don't you, Thomas?
Yeah, a whole bunch of that. You know, some of the great tales.
Earl Davis.
You told me there something a lot of folks didn't know about Billy Barlow. You know, he was the grumpy old man with a cigar in his mouth up at Cedar Hill.
Chewed a cigar bigger than he was.
Yeah, that told everybody in the lake and those kind of things. But Billy Barlow served with General Patton in Africa during World War II, and he also made the march up Anzio in Italy in World War II.
Really?
Had quite a few service medals, and he was one of those guys that he didn't talk about it much, but sometimes I'd relieve him at midnight and he'd be in a talkative mood, and there I sat and didn't have any kind of recordings or anything, but talked about, you know, those type of things. Well, you know, one of our really great heroes that became a legend in his later life, he's known all over Ohio and Indiana and Michigan, like I said, as the guy that throwed us in the lake. We went
exactly
to
right. Well, that just adds to the list of heroes from Clay County. H.S. Pig was highly decorated. Sherman Jennings. We've got a lot to be proud of as far as veterans are concerned in this county.
My uncle Stone B. Morris.
Exactly right.
I think he was maybe the only survivor of an entire company that...
Maybe. My uncle Bill Scott had a Purple Heart. There's lots of decorated veterans that don't get enough recognition in this county, I think.
Well, we're working on things like that. You know, so many of our folks, they just wanted to come back home to their quiet, simple life.
Exactly.
And didn't talk about things.
They wanted to forget.
Right. Right. You know, I think a lot of them said, you know, well, if Uncle Sam will leave me alone, I'll leave him alone.
Right.
So many of those. But, okay, now on to what's going on right now. We're right in the midst of... getting ready for state tournament time in boys and girls basketball. Sadly to say, our girls basketball team lost in the finals last night of the regional play down at East Robertson, Tennessee. But that didn't eliminate us. Now we get to go to Whitwell, Tennessee, Saturday night and play up there at 7 o'clock. And Whitwell, I believe, is still in the central time zone, so we don't have to worry about the time change or anything. And we've been up there before. We've played them regular season a few times. But it's a pretty good little drive up there. And tonight at 7 o'clock, down at East Robertson in Cross Plains, we're playing the home team, East Robertson, and it's going to be a good tussle down there because they've got a good basketball team and we've got a good basketball team, so it's going to be a great night of basketball down there. And let's see, what else have I got here? I got an announcement here from let me get this thing opened up here from Mr. Brian Coons about the Soil Conservation Board election is today.
There's a few contenders in that, I've heard.
Thursday, March the 3rd, down at the Extension Office in Salina at the Community Center. And eligibility, all landowners and spouses are eligible to vote in this. So go down there and cast your vote for this. And the Extension Office does a tremendous amount of work for us. And I know that we have those folks up here quite often. But the polls they're open until 6 p.m. tonight. And there are six people running for three positions on the board. And those positions are, people running for those positions are Mr. Brian Coons, Ronnie Raines, Dale McLaren, Jeff Young, and Noel Harrell. So those folks will all be running. So you can vote for any three of them you like, and the three top vote getters will be on the positions there on the extension office. And like I said, they do lots of great work for our farm folk. And I know in the paper this week they had the farm winners this year had the folks that won that. So if you pick up a copy of one of the local papers and see the folks that won the new farmer, the grassland farmer, mm-hmm. they've got about five or six major categories where they award honors each year in those. And then let's see, looking on down through here, I want to remind everyone that along with all the things going on here with the working, getting the Rolly Hole Marble Museum started, that we now have a dedicated Clay County Courthouse website. And it is the Clay County Courthouse TN.com. And there's all kinds of information there about really any and everything going on in and around the courthouse here. Stories about everything, links to videos of Bud Garrett on stage, down at the a big convention down at Nashville's the Parthenon in 1980 mm-hmm. that showed up, and then there's a couple more there, lots of pictures, lots of stories about the county, and also there is a Facebook page now, and the only difference there, it is the historic Clay County Courthouse. So just go in there and type in Historic Clay County, and it'll show you where that new web page is at. And I think it's open where folks post some pictures there, old pictures they've got. See, that's kind of the thing that we're looking for now is our citizens here in Clay County, our fans, our folks that have old pictures and stories. And I know we talked about this back during our sesquicentennial celebration that got canceled by COVID, but we're looking at a celebration for the 150th birthday of this building, which is coming up in 23. So we're looking at a big celebration for that. I know a week-long celebration in that. We've got we're in the planning stages on that. Got lots of things going on with that. I know we've got one of the things we have thrown up, which we think is kind of neat, is we're going to have a special day for folks, and that special day is if you got married in the Clay County Courthouse, come back home and have maybe an award for whoever travels the farthest and get all those folks that got married here to tell their stories.
My parents got married in whichever office was Harold Carlisle's. My great-grandmother said that she and her husband wasn't actually married because her man come in here, got an official, went back out there, and she never got out of the vehicle when she got she stayed there in the vehicle.
Now, we would accommodate you here back in those days.
Curbside service.
Yeah, lots of neat stories of a unique way of getting married here in Clay County.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you catch rabbits, isn't it?
I believe so.
Unique up on them. But like I said, Kenzie's here with me this morning, and I know Kenzie is, I don't know, is he the leader of the Tennessee Knucklers Marble Club? I don't know where he has an official position, or I know you and
Pal.
Andrew Donaldson.
Parker Donaldson, Kevin Donaldson.
Yeah, and all those are kind of involved in that, and I know we'll throw this announcement in there. Next weekend there is a big marble tournament up at the Dome in Tompkinsville. And
be at 9:30 a.m. and probably go about all day. It's a draw your partner. If you don't have a partner, don't worry. Show up. They'll draw you one out.
And I know we just finished the Tennessee Four Square tournament down at Malcolm Strong's garage.
That was
last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So
had about 12 teams, I think, in it.
And like I said, but
six teams.
Let's talk a little bit about marbles. Kenzie, I know you have done all the extensive studies on this, and you know exactly where marbles got started, how it got started.
I have what folklore has led me to believe on that end.
Okay, now, your version of that, kind of, how far back have you traced like a marble yard here in Clay County?
Well, as far as here in Clay County, there's been evidence of finding round rocks back dating in the Indian days.
Right.
Mississippians and et cetera. I'm not sure of the exact time frames of all those, but I know I've read a couple of reference articles and books that refer to the Roman days and the Egyptian days as finding round objects made out of rock or some kind of native other that they would incorporate into games or ceremony.
Well, you know, and I ran across a word the other day. I know we might talk a little bit about this too, and that is the English championship thing. That
Kansas Green, England.
I now have the trophy for that sitting here, the team that won that over in England. We're gathering stuff in here for our Rolly Hole Marble Museum, and it's going to include things like that. But and something that, as a young person, I can remember growing up when you played keeps or whatever.
Yep.
If you had a favorite marble you shot with, it wasn't called a shooter then.
It was a tall.
It was called a tall.
Yep.
Okay. I'm looking, and that word has to be traced back to, in England, their favorite marble was called a tolly. T-O-L-L-Y.
And I see a correlation there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that we brought that over here, but, you know, over the years.
Now, where'd they get Aggie?
From agate.
I got you.
Being made from agate.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but I know that was something that, and of course, over the years, it became known as their shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was, your favorite marble was your tall. And I said, aha.
The first time I've been playing for 4.5 years, first time I ever heard that term formally used was at Malcolm's last weekend when we had the tournament. There was a marble player from Lafayette, Portland area came. He was trying to shoot another opponent's marble. He missed. He said, man, I can't hit a tall at all.
And that's, you know, it's amazing what we have run into with all, you know, that. And also, I think that we've got a site on, a link on our website to Cherokee marbles.
And it's very much a distant first cousin to Rolling Hole here today. Three holes, much bigger marble, four people playing.
And I know I watched a little bit of the Four Square the other night, and I got lost. I think Four Square is actually a war game played with marbles.
Pretty much.
You know, you're trying to claim your partner.
You divide, conquer, and try to acquire.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. They were continuing to reach down in their pocket, pulling marbles out and handing them to the opponent.
Now, I tell you, these things are big, and they are kind of heavy. When you get enough of them in your pocket.
I'll tell you something, too, the other day. I think I went up and talked to Darren Shell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Darren, he's written a book. And, of course, I can't find one or two copies of it. I think somebody over in Tompkinsville's got some copies.
I've got one if you ever need to read it.
We'll need one to go in here sometime or other. But I think he may have kind of fell out of grace with some of the roly-hole marble people because he did a full history and didn't concentrate a whole book on them.
Exactly right.
But he had some great stuff there.
Great pictures, great articles, and some of the stories are pretty good.
And he gave me a call, you know, and he's going to help us on some of the things. You're going to do some writing for us.
Good.
And he called me up and said he had a couple of artifact things he would like to donate, and he gave me a zip drive really with all of his writings, the preparations for his book, pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And in there ran across a magazine, and an entire magazine, and it is a digitized copy of, I think it's like 2005 or 6, of an American Airlines magazine that they put in the back seat of airplanes with an article on Rolly Hole marbles. And so, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we get back, but it's time for a little bit of a break. We got to make some money because we sure do appreciate all the folks that help make this possible. So we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Trican Electric offers their member owners...
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner.
...a little easier. Bank draft... Trican Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, we're sitting here talking about, I guess the two marble games here in Clay County, and that being Roley Hole, and I know that Foursquare I'd never heard of growing up. I think that's something that...
Macon County.
Out of Macon County, and, of course, there's one thing about it. If you have any kind of marble game that's local to your community, don't introduce it to the folks in Clay or Monroe County.
Now start playing.
Because you have won your last local championship. Because it's amazing how fast they adapt to that. And we were talking a minute ago about the Roley Hole marble thing. Cynthia, I don't know how many people actually know really what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, it's just like golf or chess or tennis or croquet or whatever form of entertainment you get out of playing. It's just a game with a lot of strategy and a whole lot more luck.
Well, you know, and there's a tremendous amount of skill.
Luck and foreknowledge are your best friends.
And I know, something I've always said about when I talk to people about the Roley Hole marble things here, traditionally, I can remember going to the marble yard on the New Hope Road.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually, I think, on Buster Savage's land up behind where...
I think that yard met its demise by Miss Estelle's Hole.
Yeah, but that was a tremendous... On Sunday afternoons, I remember as up through my teenage years going up there with my dad, and this was older men.
Mm-hmm.
Youngsters.
Crook Watson, Herman Smith, and Thurman and all that bunch.
Uncle Miller Plumley sneak in there once in a while if he could find somebody to play with him.
Malcolm told me about playing with him once. He could ride a marble for a whole round. He would make the marble follow him just right side by side.
That's something I haven't seen a whole lot of in the tournaments anymore, is someone using that skill of riding their opponent.
A lot of people know better than to give somebody a ride anymore.
But, the thing that was, I remember so much about our marble yards around here, that they were kind of a sacred spot.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't alcohol, they were unwritten. It's not there.
Mm.
Foul language is not allowed there. Women and girls are allowed to. They could come and look if they got far enough away and didn't say nothing.
It's something when you can get a group of people together from all walks of life, and I've got written accounts where state troopers would stop by and start learning to play. The preacher from the Church of Christ, the preacher from the Church of God, you might even see one of the old Baptist preachers stop in and start playing a game.
And I said, this is the place where the bootleggers and the preachers join together
afternoon. You've got the town drunk there, ready to shoot the next shot, and here comes the preacher. I mean, it's very diverse.
The principal at the elementary school, Mr. Larma Holt.
Exactly right.
I mean, when I was in grade, we had a marble yard down there. Mr. Holt would be out there, of course. He'd
have a handkerchief in his hand, wouldn't he?
Yes, and he'd ever got a speck of dust on his... He would have his Sunday go to meeting clothes on because he was principal. He
shirt, tie, up. And khaki pants.
Yes, sir. And he played marbles and stayed clean.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's kind of the things that we have here in basically every school, all the county schools. And I don't, there was a whole bunch of them back then.
Plainview had yards. I'm sure New Hope did. Pine Hill definitely did. Free Hill had a yard.
Everybody, all the small schools had a marble yard. We had a marble yard in front of the old gym out here at Salina High School for a number of years. And
they even done it during work, because I know for a fact Heavy Duty had at least 3 yards, and sometimes they'd turn the volleyball yard into
a... That is a story on its own, is the marble players and their Dumas Walker King of Marbles tournament that they held. I've got that trophy here, and that's some of the things that, you know, it's going to be here. But, you know, the sad part about most of this is pictures weren't taken during those days. We occasionally find some, but and that's something we're really looking for. If anyone has pictures of marbles being played at basically at any time, anywhere in and around here, we're looking for things like that. And you bring them in here at the courthouse, and we'll have a scanner set up. And a lot of those things are precious to you.
But the earliest trophy I have found is from the 70s, and Wilbur Walker has it. And it don't say what tournament, just says Rolling Hole Marble Champion, Clay County.
See, that's kind of the thing, you know, hopefully we can get those folks to loan them to us for a little while to put in here. And, I can remember Curtis Walker and Thurman Smith. They were lifelong partners. They started, I guess, they were brother-in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And they started playing marbles together and their entire life. And you started playing marbles, you got to play with the men when you got to, I guess you had to be about 30 before they really accepted you.
I'd say that's about right.
And once you did, you know, you had your partner that you played with wherever you went. And you would travel around to, I know there was a yard there at my grandpa's, and folks would come in there.
Harlan's?
My Uncle Herman Smith played there, and like I said, my brothers played there. I played there for a little bit. They let me play, and then a lot of people just at homes had marble yards in their front yards.
It was a lot like church. It was a social event, too. You got to catch up on the latest news or gossip, depending on what.
Men didn't gossip.
Depending on what perspective you want to take. But current events, let's just say that. You got to catch up on current events, and you develop lifelong relationships and friends if there wasn't even that to begin with.
And, you know, like I said, how in the world it developed here, I guess because of boredom, being cut off from the rest of the world.
It was simply passed down from the Indians, who got it from someone else, too.
And it didn't take a whole lot of money to play marbles.
Didn't take a lot of money.
You didn't have to have a uniform. You didn't have to have a ball glove or spike shoes.
And you absolutely had to have patience. You didn't get to have a horsepower-run motor to turn your marbles for. You had to go put them in a creek and wait about 6 to 8 months and hope the flood didn't take your marble down the stream.
And I think Mr. Malcolm, he got maybe a couple of those old sandstone rocks.
I believe he does.
Somewhere or another where they would do that. And of course, I know growing up, Kenzie probably never get to do this, but for my Uncle Claude McLaren, who made marbles with a machine, it wasn't hardly as advanced as it is now where you took the grinder and ground them down nearly round. Those of us youngsters about anywhere from when he thought they're skillful enough, about 14 to 18, they got handed the old black diamond file and a square piece of flint and told to make it nearly round.
Yep.
And a lot of pecking of it.
My granddaddy, a lot of times, he'd take to the log woods, he'd have a piece of flint and one of them files, and when he was taking him a break, he'd whittle away that rock.
Golly, it's about 9:30. It's going to be time for another break. I know we've got a couple of birthdays today. I don't know where the machines tore up or just wasn't nobody born last week. I think sometimes with all of our ball games and things going
get
on
busy.
Here, sometimes they get busy. But we've got a couple here. David Spears celebrated the birthday this past week, and Mr. Wayne Taylor from up in the Maple Grove area, one of my former students, and I think he may be a board member the Overton County Board of Education.
He may be.
His dad was on the school board here in Clay County for a number of years from up there. His name was Curtis Taylor. And his sister was an aide out at the Maple Grove School forever and ever. One of my favorite high school students. I think she may have even been valedictorian for us. But great folks. Well, everybody, I don't know if anybody in Clay County that ain't great folks, do you?
That'd be hard to not say.
But we'll take a little short break, come back, and I'm going to let Kenzie talk about a grant that he got a few years ago. We'll be right back. I'm going to quit talking as much, let him talk.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late check account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We just had a couple, three more names to our birthdays today. We have got birthdays, or right now, Rod Crow, who works out the Final Lumber Company. We will let Kenzie throw that in, but we won't let them draw for the cake or for the prize. And Mr. Tuffy Adams celebrating a birthday here during this period of time, and Colin Dodson. We got a couple of Ridgers in there.
Got a couple of Ridgers. Got to represent.
But we'll wish them a happy birthday. But we'll not add them to the list. We'll just wish them a happy birthday. But I know Kenzie, a few years ago, I don't have a few. You are actually the artist in residence. You're at the Rolly Ho Marble Museum before it even gets started. Tell us about that experience a little bit.
About my apprenticeship with the state?
Yes, the training.
Well, my granddaddy used to make marbles and my daddy used to make marbles, and I have good memories of my daddy telling stories about making with Bud. And I thought before everybody that, which back in those days, marbles hadn't taken off as good as what it had about 4 years ago. It's more popular now than what it was. I was scared that the art of making marbles would die off. So I wanted to try to invest in time to try to make a go at it, see if I could learn how to make it and try to preserve that history, that aspect. And the state, Bradley Hansen, contacted me, and they were trying to establish an apprenticeship program for folk artists, things that you just don't hear about anymore, like a cooper, somebody that makes
barrels
or containers that make whole water. Water buckets. Different things that you just don't hear anymore, weavers, fiddle makers, marble makers. So that was something that was viewed as something that could be endangered and something that was indigenous to this region. So they granted that, and I had to find a master, somebody that still regularly made marbles, to be my preceptor. There wasn't anybody in Clay County that wanted to really step up to the bat, so it was the first time that they allowed a Kentucky master to be I have a Tennessee apprentice. And for a year, we worked together on making marbles, had to set up a display, had to do had to jump through several different hoops in order to be eligible just to be accepted for that grant money. And we had to take some things and put them on display in Nashville as far as the equipment that we used to make the marbles, the tools that we used to gauge the diameter. And basically, you could say I'm a marble maker. I just don't work as often as what everybody does now.
You still owe me some marbles.
Exactly right. I've been too busy playing and collecting. But one thing that I am thankful for is I got the basics and I know how to do it.
Okay, and
thankfully for that, because of that program.
How old was the master that you worked under?
Mid-40s to late to mid-50s probably would be.
Okay, but I'm wondering, you know, I know we still have some folks that are making marbles here.
It's come back with a vengeance.
Quite a few here in the county that have taken it back up. Some very young folks. And also, I think some of the folks that made them years ago have kind of
come back onto the thing.
And kind of looked to say, hey, fix some of this stuff. Now, the equipment. And let's go through the process of making a marble.
In a nutshell, you start with a native rock that don't have impurities, that's flint.
And how do you find those?
Well, geodes and the ugliest rock on the outside will be some of the prettiest flint on the inside most often. If you pick up five rocks on this day, you might be lucky to get a marble out of one of those rocks.
And it's kind of, you try to find one where you can see just a bare face.
Translucent.
And then you take and try to kind of rub and see how it feels sandy.
And another thing that might be considered gross, but when you're in the middle of a creek or something, you either get some water or some spit and kind of put over the breaking on the side of it. If it's shiny like glass, it has potential. Not going to say that's 100% going to get you a marble out of that rock, but it helps.
You know, I know a lot of times you go and you start with just a big piece of rock and breaking it down.
There's two methods. There's the Bud Garrett and Daddy method where you just try to use a lot of luck and pressure, and you take a hammer and you try to break off a piece small enough to make into a marble. Nowadays, people with tile saws and stone saws and masonry saws, however you want to say it, there's different setups. We take it to them and let them cube them out. You preserve a lot more of the rock, and you might stand a better chance of getting it than breaking it apart and putting a crack in it.
You know, I can kind of remember with my Uncle Claude, he would maybe take a hatchet
mm-hmm.
and lay it up on the top of the rock and take a big hammer and tap it.
Mm-hmm.
Till you get a good, well, like breaking a brick or something.
Exactly right.
To where you can see the inside of it. And usually, though, I know something, the prettiest rock usually doesn't make a good marble to do anything with but look at.
Play pretties.
And I know
there's coal marbles, there's play pretties, and then there's marbles you play with.
Okay, and I think I have read in some places that one of the best places to find flint now to make marbles is up in Fentress County.
Jamestown, Alert, different places like that.
And out on the hill going out of Jamestown heading on up 127, maybe there's a big rock.
Alpine, no?
No, I don't know what the name is, but when you go over the hill.
Dry Hollow.
Yeah, where the old, there, and there's some rock up there,
mm-hmm.
but the folks up there, a lot of them don't appreciate strangers coming by looking for rocks.
Just like in everywhere nowadays, you just can't go stropping through somebody's field or property. There's so many people that appreciate their owning of it, and I can understand that.
Okay, now we're looking at flint. I know we look at Indian arrowheads.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those were made with blue flint.
What I would call like fire starting flint, a lesser quality or degree of flint.
And how many marbles have you made maybe and got them? They're pretty, you know, they're nice, round, slick, and everything. And after about three games, they're full of half moons.
That happens. That's just part of it. Now, a good marble will moon.
Yeah.
A bad marble, if it don't take moons, it's eventually going to shatter.
Right. And Well, I saw something on that the other day on one of the marble contests.
Mm-hmm.
Down to one marble left to win the championship. The guy shot, hit the marble dead center. Half the marble went out of the ring.
That was Dumas Walker's marble. And that was Junior B that shot the shot that busted it,
and,
if I'm not mistaken.
But this was in that, and they ruled that in order for it to count, he had to knock the other half out.
Now, I haven't heard that part.
Heard that one.
Yeah.
That was at one of the contests somewhere, and he had to knock the other half out, and he did that. I thought you would appreciate that.
I believe there was another side story that involved it right before it was Dumas' shot. He had made a pretty agate marble. And he said, don't you look at that. He said, I'm just going to play with that this last shot because he was a fan of the hole. And that's what kind of added fuel to Junior B's fire. They say when Junior B shot, it was like a .22 or better going off anyhow.
Of course, you know, I think along that line, probably one of the most legendary shots ever made probably was in the National Rolly Hole Tournament over at Standing Stone, because I think in that where Russell Collins hit about the 30-foot shot from one end of the yard to the other one. And
that team done it three times in a row.
And settled on it and laid it out.
With the sun in his eyes. Literally, they were at the upper edge. The boy from Tompkinsville was about to go out. Russell Collins, his partner, literally put his foot behind the marble and said, just aim for my foot. He said, I can't see that marble for the sun. He rolled over him once. They battled. Larry Denton rolled over him again from about halfway. Russell Collins done it a third time from the same spot.
I know that. I've heard that story more than one time.
I've heard it from both sides of the spectrum.
And, you know, and also, as far as marbles, we have, I don't know how many of the Standing Stone Championships. We're sitting here with the current marble champion from the Standing Stone Rolly Hole Marble Tournament. That is Kenzie and his partner, who was?
Andrew Walker. Little Yorkin folk.
Yes, and like I said, whose father I grew up watching play marbles, who was a sneaky marble player.
Wilbur?
Oh, no, not his granddaddy, rather, Curtis.
Curtis?
Yeah, I mean, he was that kind of athletic person. He was always looking for that little
nearly
advantage he could get on you. But some neat thing. But I know most of the, not all of them, majority of the championships over the years, I think we're probably ahead in the majority of them with the folks from Monroe County. I know they won a number of years in a row,
mm-hmm.
and we've won a number of years in a row. But, you know, there's another marble story, another thing about marbles, and I just take a little short break, come back. We're going to talk about the Ringer Championship up in Wildwood, New Jersey, a few minutes.
Sounds
and
good.
I think you're probably a little bit familiar with that. A
little bit.
And we're going to talk about that a few minutes. I mean, it just there's so much. It seems like folks here in Clay County and Monroe County just have a knack for taking that round orb and shooting it through the air and making it do what they want it to do.
We shoot from the heart.
not from the hip.
That's exactly right.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, we're back. We're talking about our Roly-Hole marbles. We talked a little bit about Tennessee Foursquare, but you know, there's another national championship that I guess it neither of those. It's kind of the old-fashioned thing like we used to do down. I know down in grade school when I was down there, when we had the baseball field and the softball field there, that had a dirt
yard and
a dirt infield there, and come recess time. You grabbed your sack of marbles, run out there on that,
and tried to get a game.
And drove your big circle, and everybody pitched in about five marbles apiece. And whoever keep them, my sack always come back empty. Best I remember, but I mean, that was kind of what was going on, which we call ringers. Keeps. You know, and of course, Mama told you not to take them marbles to school and play keys.
They cost a money.
That's gambling. Don't do that. Of course, I don't know how they figured out my brother came back with a paper bag full of marbles every 2 or 3 days.
Well, maybe he let you have a couple along the way.
Somebody maybe fleeked a little bit or something. But, you know, every year, and this has been going on up there forever and ever, it's kind of a square type thing, marble game. It wasn't where we used to put them in the middle and make a little rack like you'd see it upon a pool table.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it had, I forgot how many marbles in it. They have a little X rack they fill with marbles and put it there in the center.
I think it's 14. I believe it is
14 marbles. And whoever, it comes up your round to shoot, and whoever knocks out the most marbles during their round of shooting is a national champion in that. And here from this area, we have five national winners
mm-hmm.
that have gone up there. And of course, COVID kind of stopped that here during that period of time.
I even won a ringer at Sandstone this
year. But I don't know how we got involved in that, whether we just thought, hey.
Travis Cherry, I think.
Travis had a whole lot to do with that.
He had a whole lot to do with it.
And Travis is a neat story, too. Travis is probably one of the few people that had a marble yard inside his basement. He and his brother carried the dirt in. Well, I guess Mom wasn't looking, going somewhere or another, and fixed them a little marble yard in the basement.
Yeah, and Miss Winnie couldn't keep up with the dusting and the sweeping up top, so that marble yard had to go.
Yeah, that marble yard left. But he was the coach of the of the girls' team here
mm-hmm.
that went up there from Solana. And also we had a boy, two young men that went up there and won. I think, of course, they're associated with us here. One is actually listed as his home team is Standing Stone. And that was, I believe that was Mr. Wesley Thompson
mm-hmm.
Who won. And I think he won the championship by beating his cousin,
Nathan,
in record time. I think maybe he won the game like 24 minutes.
Something like that.
And but then I think Nathan came, you could play for 3 years, I believe. And in the third year there, he won the championship. But
he got to kiss the girl.
And he's listed as being from Tompkinsville. But we had three young ladies here in Clay County. And we had Miss Molly Reeser.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Molly came back maybe and did some coaching.
She did.
Took some young
and
ladies.
And married back. One of the former winners of that tournament, I'm pretty sure, Jeff Kimmel.
And we also had Logan Mabry, I think was our lady
mm-hmm.
in 2012. She won the championship. But our star
and Amanda Byrne.
Well, our star was a young lady named Amanda Byrne.
Exactly right.
And she was, she was Malcolm's step-granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
I believe. She
played in the tournament out there at Malcolm Saturday.
I know, and she was an excellent basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I think she wound up finishing her high school up in Burksville, played basketball up there. Excellent athlete. But when we start looking at some of these things, and what Mr. Travis brought, he brought in some memorabilia and stuff the other day to go in our museum here, and I have up on the framed up there a cover from from the National Geographic, a two-page spread of Amanda down on her knees. They said, you know, most of the young ladies up there had knee pads on. I reckon, you know, being from Tennessee, you know, knee pads showed you was weak. But she won that, and she was featured in like National Geographic. And I know if you're familiar with Sports Illustrated, that they have showing young athletes, had a little square section in the front. She made that. She was a big story there for a long, mm-hmm. long time, because she was, you know, she's just a cute, sweet little young lady.
And turns out me and hers related.
And everybody, you know, kind of, they all fell in love with her up there.
Exactly right.
I mean, she was this southern country girl.
And she's still a sweetheart.
We've got that. And those are some of the kind of the things that we're going to have here in our museum. And also, we have the trophy sitting here that Travis brought over from the European Championship, the British Championship, where our group went over there and won that trophy. And we've got one of the Dumas Walker King of Marbles trophies. So those are the things that we're looking for. I know I'm radioing way too much this morning, but and another thing right now, I'm going to drop over on something else. And I just showed Kenzie a book here that Mr. Russ Rich brought by, and I know he is interested very, very much in ancestry, and a hardbound book of the families that left Salina, or left Jackson County or Butler's Landing, and went out to Texas. A number of families, and they all wound up in the same place out there and started in a little town out there. And they were homesick, so they named it Salina, Texas.
And that town is currently in its third location.
Right.
Railroads took it away each time, I believe.
I think that there's an old cemetery there, and the original town of Salina was right next to the cemetery, I
mm-hmm.
think, which was a common practice in those days.
Harold Stone used to talk about visiting relatives in Salina, Texas.
I have a list here of...
He used to tell me about one of them getting rattlesnake
bit. Just read that off, and anything about the family that you may have run across over the time.
Gerhardt, Biggerstaff, Clark, Cox, Cunningham, Davis, Hossel, Jones, Kirkpatrick, Nevin, Owensby, they were Church of Christ preachers in the area, Peterman, Plumleys, Roberts, Stones, and I have trouble with this last one. Some of them, to me, it's old-fashioned Waddle. But a lot of the newer ones call it Waddell. So.
They're Waddle.
They're Waddle.
Do you notice any? I'm sure you have run across lots of stuff with those last names.
Oh, yes.
Because if you look down through there, those are predominantly leaders here in this county.
In this county, and went on to be leaders in the Salina, Texas.
Right, and the folks that stayed here, I mean, we look down through here, Hossel, one of our county executives for a number of years.
Two or three times.
Two or three times. We look at the Roberts family, the Plumley family, the Stone family. The Gerhards, the Stone family that were elected officials here for number of years. Mr. John T. Stone, some of his relatives. And I think also in that period of time, I didn't notice any of the Hamilton names here, but I know some of those folks, they may have not stopped right in Texas.
They visited out there a lot.
And they,
the Poindexters, there's a lot of people that went out that way.
So, you know, there's just so many things that, you know, that kind of ties into all what we're doing here. Like I said, when we get into the history of marbles, we run into the history of families,
mm-hmm.
the family marble yards. There's just... We're kind of, every time we turn over a rock, we find a bigger rock, looks like.
Exactly right.
And so, but it's something that we need help on. And I know Kenzie loves to talk to anybody about anything, anytime. But anytime you see, and you've got a marble story, And you guys that are playing marbles, and what your mom and dad did, you know, we have stories of the marble yard. The old marble yard used to be over to the Pine Hill Road crossroads.
Yep.
There. The old store, there was like two or three different places there.
That they had yards.
Dumas Walker planted marble yards all over the county in different
exactly
places
right.
at different times. We had, Mr. Bob Fulcher said one of his favorite yards he ever visited was Amos McLaren's marble yard.
Yep.
And if you're familiar with marbles, you're familiar with that name. And he is definitely a part of this museum. And he's going to lend his expertise to it. So
if it wasn't for Bob, we wouldn't get to enjoy marbles today, I'd say.
I think Bob, he ran across something, and he started writing some articles about it. And
there was one yard active when he come into this country and started doing research. There was only one yard where they played marbles.
That was still going on.
Malcolm Strong's, I believe, was it.
And like I said, I know Amos had his yard there. Of course, it kind of turned into they would find a place and be able to light it up at night.
Being able to light it, make sure runoff from a hillside didn't destroy it.
So in it,
make sure Mrs. Estelle Savage's hole didn't destroy it.
So the marble plant, you know, like I said, usually the marble plant, like Sunday afternoon was marble time for years and years here, but it, you know, it kind of went to where it was playing at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's. It's still not as active as we'd like for it to be, but we're hoping that this is going to. I know folks from all over the country, they now know the name Roly Hole Marble, and they know it belongs mainly in Clay County, and then the history of Monroe County.
I will also say this: there are currently in the works four yards being put into Clay and Monroe County. They're all going to be at the homes of players, but the yards are continuing with the players that played when they were little or having children. They're building yards to try to teach their children today.
And I do think part of the resurrection of the Donaldson Park is the smoothing out and reopening the marble yard.
Yep.
Down there. And probably naming it in the honor of Dumas Walker. And, of course, that's something we hadn't even touched yet, but how much that meant to Roly Hole Marbles is the Kentucky Headhunters recording.
Yep.
Us all go down to Dumas Walker's. And it focused national attention. And, of course, we have our Music City pathway here that folks are able to go on. If you go online and you search tourism in Tennessee now, that's one of the first things that pops up. It tells you to come by. Yes. Colleagues, we're about to run out of time.
Time flies when you're having fun, don't it?
And we've got our winner for our cake today, David Spears, won the cake today.
Ooh.
The cake, the prize. We ain't give a cake away, and I don't know when. This is the prize. Compliments of WFBFM 101.5, Kicks Country, where we, like I said, we come to you live and in living color each week here on your radio dial. And it's a pleasure, you know, being able to do this. And we hope if you've heard something you enjoyed this morning that you will tell your neighbors. And if you ain't going to the ball game tonight about 6 o'clock, you know, tune back in on 101.5 and listen to the rebroadcast. And if you are, that site, you folks that stay here and listen on the maybe listening on some of the mechanical computers or something, that same site there will have... It is posted there sometime just in the very near future. So there's lots of opportunities to take care of this. But I'd like to remind everyone, you know, that we are playing basketball down to East Robertson tonight. We are qualified for the next round of the competition to make it to the state tournament, boys and girls. We just got to win a couple more ball games. And so we will be back again here next week. And we may be involved in a state tournament next week, so, but until then, good day, Clay County.
Take care.
Take care. May the good Lord bless and keep you.